It leads us to Robert Mays of the Athletic Football Show, who brings us our next guest here today. He also writes for the Athletic. He joins us now on Rinto and Sermon with Jamie Dodd. Robert, thank you very much for doing this today. How are you?
Doing okay, guys. How you doing?
We are doing very well, and there's a lot to digest from week number one, and I know what the obvious storylines are, but I noticed one of your tweets, so I want to lead you down this road. Did Justin Herbert have the most underappreciated strong game at quarterback in week one of the NFL?
Well, it certainly wasn't underappreciated by me. I feel like some of the throws he made over the second half of the game won them that day. I mean, high leverage moments on third down. I was extremely excited about him coming into the season. I thought that he had a chance to become one of the kind of upper echelon guys in the league, even in year two. I thought that we've seen year two jumps recently from other people, right? Mahomes, Lamar, Josh Allen was year three, but it's a slightly different case. I thought that Justin Herbert had a chance to take that sort of leap coming into this year. And when you saw some of the throws that he made on Sunday, I think they were pretty special. And it came against a very good Washington defense that we expect to be pretty special this year. I mean, a very, very good team that I think has a chance to be a top five unit. And when you combine that with the pass protection we saw from the Chargers, some of the contributions from guys like Mike Williams, who've, you know, been a little bit up and down over the course of their careers, I think it's easy to get excited about what that team looked like in week one.
I think most football fans were with you being excited about Justin Herbert coming into year two, and he was everybody's darling, the guy who's going to take the next big step. But we live in a fantasy football world, and the fantasy football numbers weren't off the charts for Justin Herbert. They have been at times for Keenan Allen, and I noticed you pointed that out, that part of the reason you want to see Herbert excel is so that we get to see more Keenan Allen and unlock everything his potential can give us. What does the average football fan not appreciate about Keenan Allen, Robert?
I think he's probably the best pure route runner in the entire NFL. And the ways that he creates separation are unlike any other receiver in the league. If you talk to a receiver in the NFL, so for example, I was in Minnesota in late August. It was the last training camp that I visit, and a long conversation with Justin Jefferson that I really enjoyed. And we were talking about guys he watched. The first person out of his mouth was Keenan Allen. When I've talked to Devontae Adams in the past about route running, the first guy out of his mouth is Keenan Allen. He is somebody that within the league has just, he's held in such high esteem. And I would love if he was somebody that was playing on Sunday Night Football more often, or somebody that you're watching an MVP quarterback, so you have to watch him. And you just pick up on the subtleties and the nuances of the way he plays the position. I mean, he is unlike any player in the NFL, in my opinion, because he's a slot receiver half the time. And he runs routes like he's 5'11", but he's 6'3". And I just feel like people do not appreciate what goes into his game nearly enough. And I hope that more and more people start to pick up on that as Justin Herbert's star kind of rises.
In the underappreciated wide receiver category, there are a lot of people that would throw Allen Robinson in that mix as well. In your opinion, what effect would starting Justin Fields have on Allen Robinson and what he can bring to that offense?
I mean, I have to assume that there'd be a little bit more down-the-field action than we saw last week than we've seen with the Bears offense over the last few years. I mean, Allen Robinson is one of the best 50-50 ball down-the-field receivers in the world, and we just have not gotten a chance to see him as that player with the current construction of the Bears offense and what it's been like over the last couple of years. So I just think it lifts everybody. It lifts everybody from a schematic perspective. It lifts everybody from the types of throws that are on the table. I have to assume it lifts everyone just from a vibe in the room to know that this guy is super talented, what it does for the excitement around your huddle. You know, there are so many different benefits that I think the Bears would receive. I am not one of those people that's just saying they should throw him out there. Like, absolutely. What are they doing? I don't believe that. I think that there are actual arguments on the other side of it, but I absolutely do think that it would help Allen Robinson. It would help several other receivers in this offense.
Well, on that point then, Robert, I mean, what do you think is the best timeline for the Bears to kind of transition to Justin Fields as the starter? And what timeline do you think we'll end up seeing this year?
I don't know what the best timeline is. You know, that's hard to say just because I don't think there's a certain benchmark. You know, look at what's happening today. They don't know if Jason Peters is going to practice today. Larry Borum, their fifth-round pick, who was playing left tackle in place of Jason Peters, also got dinged up in that game. You know, the offensive line is a huge, huge concern, and it's really hard to put a timetable on when that would be fixed. I just think there isn't a ton of downside in waiting and seeing what that group looks like a month into the season before you throw him out there. So I think it depends on how the Bears perform. You know, if they lose to Cincinnati this weekend and then they lose to Cleveland in week three and they're 0-3 and their offense has looked pretty hapless and they're just getting beat up and they feel like they need an injection of energy, maybe it comes after the Cleveland game. But it's so hard to say. They seem steadfast in this plan of keeping Andy Dalton in there because they think it might benefit Justin Fields' overall development. I understand that argument. I also think that Matt Nagy's job security isn't such that he can go 2-15 this season. So eventually some urgency is probably going to have to creep in.
And I wanted to ask you about their opponent coming up this weekend and specifically the quarterback for Cincinnati. You know, you were talking about Justin Herbert going into year two, what kind of leap he could make. And I know a lot of people are excited to see what Joe Burrow, healthy, can do in year number two for him. He had a pretty impressive performance, I thought, against a Minnesota team coached by Mike Zimmer, known for having a good defense in week one. What did you like about Joe Burrow's debut performance of the year?
I thought he looked good. I mean, I thought that he made a lot of really good decisions. I thought that he looked healthy. I thought that he looked confident. I mean, his ball placement is excellent in a lot of situations, which we've come to expect from Joe Burrow. It made me want to watch that offense more. It made me want to see what they can do with that group going forward. And I haven't rewatched that game kind of front to back yet. I'm going to plan on doing that here in the next couple of days. But just at first glance, I was absolutely impressed with the way that they played offensively.
And you mentioned when we were talking about Justin Herbert, right, with the improvements that the Chargers have made on the offensive line. And is that almost more key for Joe Burrow than anything he's doing himself, just getting better production or protection from the offensive line in front of him in Cincinnati?
Yeah, I mean, I think that definitely was a part of it. You know, Riley Reiff is not somebody that's going to garner a lot of headlines, and the move to go get him wasn't the most exciting thing. But I do think that he's a professional right tackle, which is an upgrade over what they've had over the last couple of years. And then on the interior, it's just, can you stay healthy? You know, Quentin Spain is a workable left guard. He's just had problems staying on the field. So I think that when all those guys are around, and, you know, Reef's into his mid-30s, I think he and I are like the same age, when you get deeper into the season, are those guys still going to be in the lineup? That's my concern. It's not what this team looks like week one. It's how deep this offensive line is. If it starts to deteriorate, what this offense starts to look like. But the early returns are certainly encouraging, yes.
Robert Mays of the Athletic Football Show writes for the Athletic as well. He joins us today on Rintoul and Sermon with Jamie Dodd. The Bills, the Titans, and the Packers were among the biggest disappointments, however you want to order them, in week number one. And coming off losses like that, there's always that, oh, I wouldn't want to be the next team to play them. Which team are you most confident in as far as a bounce back goes?
I'm so unaware of the schedule all the time, so I have no idea which teams are playing which teams this week. I feel good about most of those teams. You know, I think that the Bills and the Packers are going to be just fine. You know, both of those teams, I think, are set up for success. You have all the same component parts that we've seen over the last couple years. You know, the Packers' offensive line is going to take some time. You know, they have two young guys starting at guard, including a rookie. You know, he gave up a pressure that led to that first Aaron Rodgers interception. They're going to be fine at left tackle without David Bakhtiari, but it's the trickle-down effect. It's the fact that moving Elgton Jenkins from guard to tackle makes you worse at guard. So some of those things are going to be stuff to watch until Bakhtiari gets back, but I have a ton of faith in the Packers. I have a ton of faith in the Bills.
Go ahead.
I think that Pittsburgh's offense or defense is really, really good. And, you know, you saw that. When they have that front four working, and Melvin Ingram looked excellent. You know, they have some younger guys in the secondary that I think are ascending players. With Tennessee, I'm less certain, just because there are aspects of that offense that are different. You know, they don't have their offensive coordinator they've had over the last couple seasons. You know, this is a group that they have Julio Jones, but for the most part, it's still the same players that we've seen, and now the guy pulling the levers is different. So that's the team I'm most concerned about among those three. I think the Packers and the Bills are probably going to be fine. The Packers are in a bounce-back spot just because they're playing against the Lions. So I feel, in terms of just week two performance, that's definitely the one I would feel best about.
Yeah, Bills and Titans have much tougher matchups, including Tennessee heading to Seattle for the Seahawks home opener. You mentioned the Pittsburgh Steelers. There were questions about Ben Roethlisberger last season. They weren't answered to me in week one. I still worry about his ability to push the ball down the field outside the numbers. Do you have those same concerns? And where does that put the ceiling with this Steelers team?
I don't think it's that much different than the team we saw last year. I think that they're going to have to be carried by their defense and have the offense make a few scattered plays here and there and lean on the skill position talent that they have. You know, their offensive line is young. You know, there's a hope that maybe they can kind of coalesce as the season goes along. But I absolutely think that, you know, their defense is going to be what carries them, and I think that does give them a defined ceiling. I still think they could push to be a playoff team, but, you know, there's still a concern about how far they can actually go in what is a pretty loaded AFC.
Yeah, and it's certainly a loaded division as well. Baltimore's chance is hindered by their injury situation, but that's still going to be a tough, tough out for anybody, and they're going to push for a playoff spot. That's just what they do. Then there's the Cleveland Browns, who many believe have as deep a roster as any team in the AFC. They came close, and they put on probably the best performance of a losing team that we saw in Week 1, and yet they still lost. It's Kansas City. No shame in that. Mayfield makes the mistake at the end of the game. Where is your level of faith in Baker Mayfield and his ability to take this team as far as it's capable of going?
I think they'll be just fine. I think Baker Mayfield is just fine. I thought he played really well on Sunday. You know, that last interception, it's at the end of a game. You get stepped on. You know, those plays happen. I thought that he threw the ball extremely well on Sunday. And I think that that team is set up to beat pretty much anybody in the AFC and give the Chiefs a run. You know, I don't feel any less enthusiastic about the Browns right now than I did coming into Week 1, and I was already pretty excited about that.
Sticking in that division, you know, it can be almost difficult to focus on the actual football aspects of the Monday night game because there was so much craziness happening towards the end of it. But, you know, everyone focused going into the game on the injuries the Ravens had suffered in the preseason, what effect that would have. But I almost thought that a bigger concern coming out of that game was their offensive line, which looked to struggle at times against the Raiders. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that Alejandro Villanueva is an aging player who was not very good last year and is switching positions. So it's not a surprise to see him struggle. He played extremely well. The issue is Ronnie Stanley did not play well either. And maybe we shouldn't be surprised at that. You know, he broke his leg last season. He's coming back, and sometimes it takes guys at that position to really settle in and become more comfortable with their bodies and how they feel physically. And, you know, he did not look assured in that game. And we talked about that a lot today on the Athletic Football Show with Mitchell Schwartz, who was an all-pro tackle for the Chiefs, you know, getting into some of the ins and outs of what that's like as an offensive lineman returning from injury. And I think that you saw that. So, you know, if they have issues at those two spots over the course of the year, then their offense is going to struggle. You know, there's no way around that. If you have two tackles that you can't feel reliant upon, including one that's one of the highest paid in the entire NFL, that is a huge problem for any offense.
And you know, as you say, like, that's a big problem for any offense. There's no easy way to just kind of mask problems on the offensive line, especially at those two positions. But if that is going to be an area of struggle for the Ravens, do you think there's things that they're going to have to do differently on offense than we've seen them do in years past?
Yeah, possibly. I think that the issue is it's easy to account for one tackle that's struggling. It's hard to account for two, because you can chip, you can help, you can slide, you can do things to account for one weak link. It's really, really difficult to account for two. So I think that, you know, we're still going to see the same sort of approach that we've seen from them over the course of the years, where it's heavy run game, heavy play action. They're trying to protect the offensive linemen just via scheme and not a lot of straight dropbacks. But other than that, I don't really know what you can do to solve that issue.
Ravens have the injuries in the backfield. Niners get one as well. Robert Mays of the Athletic Football Show joining us here today on Rintoul and Sermon with Jamie Dodd. Raheem Mostert out for the season. It's been plug and play with running backs in that system, even though I think most of us would agree Mostert is an elite scheme fit. He just does well there. I don't know how well he'd do in other systems. Any worry whatsoever about the Niners' run game losing the guy they wanted to be their lead back?
No, I don't have any concern at all. You know, they've been just fine in the past when they've had to play without him. He's struggled with injuries over the last several years. So I think no matter how that backfield shakes out, which if you're trying to figure it out for fantasy purposes, good luck. It's just a minefield that I would not want to navigate and then have been forced to in multiple leagues. But in terms of overall efficiency, I think that they're going to be just fine.
Jason Verrett may be a more significant loss for a team that already had questions in its secondary. They're playing in the toughest division in football, in my estimation. How do you handicap the NFC West?
That's really difficult. I think after losing Verrett and just already having to deal with that, I probably do it as Rams, Seahawks, Niners. But I think that the Rams and the Seahawks are very, very close. I was really impressed with the Seahawks in week one. You know, we'll see what happens over the course of the year, but I thought that their defense looked really good. I think that team has a chance to be excellent. So they're all bunched up there, but if I had to rank them, I would do those three and then probably the Cardinals last still, even though the Cardinals played excellent in week one.
Yeah, that's the wild card team in the division, and yet most people still have them at the bottom of that pack, probably because of seasons gone by. Thank you very much for your time today, Robert. Continue the excellent work. We will continue to follow you on social media and read your work at The Athletic as well. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Appreciate it, guys.